Ellis calling in live, getting ready to head out to the Deer Woods. I just want to let you know that our friends at Battery Warehouse let us know that this is their 38th anniversary, and they are having a 38% off sale. So if you need anything in batteries, stop by your local Battery Warehouse today and enjoy those savings. Now I want to say to all the deer hunters out there, please be safe. Please follow all the safety rules. I hope you get a great big deer, and good luck.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show here on this first day of the Maryland Deer Firearm Season. And as has been our tradition, we have pre-recorded today's show. We're actually pre-recorded it on the 20th of November, and I hope you had a chance to listen to the first hour. If you're headed into the woods, I get it. But for the rest of our audience, we just want to let you know that the muzzleloader contest will continue next week. Next week, the first Saturday of December. You'll be able to enter for the November contest and the December contest in one phone call, and we'll be giving a muzzleloader away next Saturday. Brian Eiler is our guest. He is familiar with us here to our regular listeners as the Deer Project Leader for the Maryland Department, for the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife, and Heritage Service. You get all that in your business card?
It fits.
Does it?
Small font.
Little tiny
font. Yeah, little tiny font, but it
got room for your phone number?
Yeah, it's down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, good. We left the first hour talking about CWD.
Yes.
Chronic wasting disease.
Correct.
One of a myriad of diseases that affect the Maryland deer herd.
Yeah, diseases or sicknesses, illnesses,
Okay.
Yeah, there's a few of them. Yeah, there's three or four big ones.
But
CWD is kind of the 800-pound gorilla in the room, though, unfortunately.
And only because there's been so much national publicity on zombie deer.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah, that has not accurately reflected that disease necessarily, unfortunately.
EHD, epizootic hemorrhagic disease, which is spread by the bite of a gnat during the summer, early fall usually.
So that's viral.
That is a viral disease. That kills far more deer than CWD ever will here in Maryland.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
I don't know if long term that might, we'll see. But we'll see.
But I mean, up
it
until
definitely
now.
Has a higher impact. A faster impact
faster
in a
impact.
Given time period.
Right.
Right.
Got it.
Yeah.
We also have some other things like brain abscess disease,
correct.
Which is primarily in the bucks. Have you ever seen it in the dead?
Yeah, we've had one or two does,
really?
Believe it or not, that we've actually diagnosed a brain abscess. And that's a bacteria.
Bacteria, right.
That manages to get into the brain and causes the infection.
One of our customers up in Cecil County shot a deer with one antler down and one antler up.
Yep.
And I said, look at that. I said, your deer had brain abscess disease. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
I said, take a look, closer look. So,
yeah, that's a bacteria, and that's a dead giveaway.
A lot of times
you have an antler with pus around it.
I said, was that antler loose? He said, it would wiggle a little bit.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
so smells really not good.
Oh, thank you. For all you enjoying breakfast out there.
Yeah, but no, doe, we have found a couple of does with it as well, but not as common. Bucks, probably the whole activity, sparring, rubbing trees, et cetera.
And primarily up for sure.
Yeah, that's the hot spot.
Yep, Kent, that's Queen the hot spot. A little Queen Anne's, Kent, Cecil. We've seen other cases in Howard and other places.
Yeah, we've had it around, but that definitely is the hot spot.
So after covering all that, let's talk about CWD. Yeah, CWD is not a virus or bacteria.
Nope, it's a mutated protein, and basically
a prion, right?
And so you can't kill it like you can a bacteria or a virus because it's not alive to begin with. So you have to denature it because it's a protein. Which makes it challenging because it's very difficult to denature. Just cooking deer meat's not going to denature it.
Okay.
But there's no evidence that it's a human threat.
Right.
But it is in the same family as mad cow disease, which is a human threat. That is also a prion disease.
But it's also like scrapie in sheep, which has never been found.
Right. Never found in humans either. So, but we have to, we have to be careful. It was first diagnosed in 1967 in Colorado.
Right.
So to you and I, that might seem like a long time, but in the grand scheme of things, that's a pretty short amount of time.
Right.
So you can't really say with 100% certainty that it can't jump the species barrier.
Right.
The CDC recommends not eating infected deer meat, which makes sense.
Of course.
But there is no evidence.
But how do you tell?
Right. Short of a laboratory test, you can't tell.
Right.
And that's identifies a big need. We really need some kind of live real-time test,
where we can
get the results real quick.
There have been major meetings about this. Congressional Sportsman's Foundation and all the entities are involved with that.
Yeah.
The Quality Deer Management Association
have
been talking about it. I don't know about the Whitetails Unlimited or any of those people, but I know that and anybody that's involved in antlered game hunting,
right?
Because it just doesn't always affect deer. It does affect elk and all the cervids.
Yes, correct.
The cervids.
Correct. Fallow deer are the only ones so far that have, and it's not even definite, but have shown some kind of maybe resistance. They've had trouble with fallow deer have not been really easily infected with CWD.
And I'm sure all these experiments are going on.
Yeah.
What about our Sika deer? Have you ever found it in Sika deer?
No. It's never been found anywhere in Sika deer, to the best of my knowledge. But being a very close member to the elk, and elk are susceptible, I would be surprised if Sika deer weren't susceptible.
Right. But we don't have any precursors to that like we did in our CWD zone here in Maryland. So
correct.
Do you want to give us a little history of how we found it in Maryland or where it started?
So we actually started sampling for CWD way back in the 90s. It was on the radar even back then, but we were just sampling sick deer. If we would get report of a sick deer, that would be one of the tests we would find. Didn't really expect that we would find it, but that was one of the tests we would find or do. In 2002, you may remember, it made the news big time because Wisconsin found it.
Right.
And that's when it really came to the forefront, and because it was on the east side of the Mississippi River.
Right.
And the Mississippi typically is a pretty good barrier for disease movement back and forth.
Right.
So USDA started offering more funding.
Right.
Because they have a dog in the hunt, if you want to say, because of captive cervids and cervid farming.
Right.
They view that as alternative agriculture.
Okay. Are you talking deer farms that are for breeding and urine collection and all that?
For food, for hunting, anything. That's just captive.
Okay.
Just cervid farming in general.
I got it.
Just for whatever purpose. They view that as alternative agriculture and they promote that. And obviously that's an issue if you have a disease like this in that industry, just like mad cow would be a significant issue in the cattle industry. So long story. Yeah, in a roundabout way. So USDA started offering a lot more funding. So all of the states started increasing their sampling, us included. That was in 2002. In 2005, as a result of that, West Virginia found the first positive. and it was in Slanesville, Hampshire County, real close to Allegheny County.
Yeah, right.
So at that time, early on, we were sampling every county. We were sampling more along the Pennsylvania border because there's a lot of captive deer in that area on the Pennsylvania side.
Yes, there and, are. And Gettysburg and other places right. that are fairly close to us.
Excuse me. Sure. And so when West Virginia found it, we decided we were going to start focusing. We would start focusing our sampling out there as well just to keep hunters up
right on the border.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we found it in 2010, 11. And
even though a river runs through it, somebody swam across. Huh?
Yeah, yep. Somebody saying, well, you know, and that's an interesting point. You know, everybody just kind of assumes that poor old West Virginia is where this started.
Right.
Really, we can't really say that. You know, it could have been.
It's fun
to say. It could have been a Pennsylvania deer. It could have been a Maryland deer. It's just West Virginia was the lucky one to find it first.
Of course, yeah.
So they get blamed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we started looking out there. Of course, Pennsylvania was sampling out there as well. We found it in 2010, 5 years after they found it. Presumably it had spread from West Virginia into Maryland and up into Pennsylvania as well. So, and we've sampled over 10,000 deer now total. Since 2002,
cases.
And we have 52 positives so far.
Right.
Yeah.
Now Pennsylvania really cracked down on it, and in particular when a couple of deer got loose and entered the wild population from those farms.
Right. Yeah. So Pennsylvania has, I think, three management areas, CWD management areas right now, three separate ones. One is wild deer related, which is out part of our outbreak basically, and they have at least one or maybe two that are associated with captive herds where they found it in captive deer.
Right. Didn't it used to be? I mean, we're managing it very well here. I mean, we've taken all the precautions, and you can outline them if you want. You can find them in the Guide to Hunting and Trapping online as well.
Yeah.
But basically, no deer can leave that area intact just to meat. No brain tissue.
Right.
No,
unless it's going to one of our approved processors or taxidermists who then know how to properly dispose.
Right.
But that's...
But, I mean, you've got to have that skull plate if you want to get the rack or the shoulder mount done. So I guess there's going to have to be some special preparation by taxidermists or meat processors.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, exactly. So carcass transport's is a big one. You know, we want to see responsible disposal.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, we're trying not to interfere too much with, you know, with hunting. We're deer hunters too.
Yeah,
you know,
of
I mean, well, not only are we deer hunters, but we're deer managers.
Right.
And we can't manage deer without hunters.
That's correct.
So they
in the early days of CWD outbreaks, wasn't like scorched earth the process that, that everybody recommended, we got to kill them all in this area and wipe out
Wisconsin,
the herd.
Wisconsin was really, you know, they, and to their credit, I mean, that is standard disease management. That is how you would, you know, a disease, that's typically how you handle it. So Wisconsin was getting very, you know, very liberal with their trying to reduce deer densities, et cetera, because it spreads through contact, contact. So the more deer you have on the landscape, the more contact you're going to have, faster it's going to spread.
Yeah, whatever that contact is, whether it's
nose to nose,
licking each other, eating after somebody, you know.
Maybe, yeah.
Spit on the corn pile or something, you know.
Which brings up another interesting point. But, yeah, so anyway, this kind of, when you say scorched earth, it was kind of like trying to lower deer densities to minimize contact and limit spread.
Got it.
It's debatable whether that has worked.
Right.
But what that definitely does is it definitely makes a lot of hunters mad,
obviously.
And then it erodes support for the agency.
Right.
And then things get unproductive. So,
let's stop right there for a second. Okay. All right, deer hunters out there. I know there's some waterfowlers in the crowd, too, and I'm going to talk to you about a couple of firearms from Browning. The A5 is the most reliable, fastest cycling, best balanced, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet, the Browning A5 from Clyde Sport Shop. Comes in Mossy Oak camo. That's Shadow Grass Blades camo, a fiber optic front sight, humpback receiver, just like the old days. It's an autoloader shotgun with a kinematic drive that operates the recoil. 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee. This is a fantastic waterfowl autoloader. Then there's the Maxis. The Maxis was actually built for waterfowlers. It's the autoloader shotgun that the Browning calls waterfowl hunting perfection. 3 and 3.5 inch chambers, a new power drive gas system reduces recoil. Both are available at Clyde Sport Shop. Check out the Browning rebates available right now for just a couple of days at Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. Clyde's is your full-line Browning dealer. Also offer firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, and scope mounting. Now let's go to the Eastern Shore. Let's talk about where hunters and anglers go. The first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors. They carry waterfowl stuff like you wouldn't believe. It's the waterfowl headquarters on the shore. It's the largest selection of waterfowl calls, all major brands, steel shot, all kinds of gear and camo for waterfowl, Avery decoys, Kent fast steel shot, banded camouflage clothing. Sorry. Firearms and ammunition from Remington and Savage and Shoppa. Muzzleloaders and accessories, too, from Thompson Center and CVA. Not that you'd use them for waterfowl, but they do have a large selection of hip boots and waders and knee boots as well. Costa coolers and Yeti sunglasses. No, that's wrong. Yeti coolers and Costa sunglasses.
There you go.
How about that? Scentlock apparel for the deer hunters, too. Where is this place located? Well, it's Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road, Kent Island, 1707 Main Street in Chester, Maryland. That's Chesapeake Outdoors, 20% off all tree stands, all ladders, climbers, and lock-ons, Matthews, Raven, Mission, all that. 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. And guess what? We'll be right back after these messages.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best seafood in Harford County and northern Baltimore County. Madonna Seafood Restaurant offers an outstanding menu for lunch or dinner and all-you-can-eat crabs. It's a great place for a family event or business meeting. Madonna Seafood Carryout has steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, great pizza, subs, and a whole lot more. Call in to the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road after a few miles, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. 410-557-CRAB, MadonnaSeafood.com. And Madonna Seafood is open every day at 11. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number 1, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Dear Vet Ticks, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, Vet Ticks.
Dear Vet Ticks, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, Vet Ticks. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience. Give the memory. VetTix. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
Soldiers returning with traumatic brain injuries or other serious battle wounds often spend weeks or months in a VA hospital or other rehab facility. DVDs for Vets is collecting DVDs and portable players for distribution in our community and nationwide. Many of us take for granted our access to everyday enjoyments, and DVDs for Vets needs your help in giving these injured soldiers some diversions from the monotony of a hospital stay during recovery. To donate new or used DVDs or to learn more about this worthy cause, please go to www.dvdsforvets.com.
This is the story of Julie Guillot. She's a Leukemia and Lymphoma Society advocate and the mother of a child who battled blood cancer.
Zach was diagnosed with AML, a deadly leukemia, when he was only 5. He died at just 9 years old, really from the treatment that was meant to save him.
Today, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society is pioneering breakthrough treatments for kids with cancer. Visit lls.org and save a child's life.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yes, some folks say I'm a simple kind of man. I love the outdoors, eat my beans from a can. I like hunting, fishing, don't care what the tree huggers say. I learned more about life sitting out in the woods or on the banks of a river when the fishing's no good. And if I go home skunk, well, hell, I still had a good day. 'Cause if I can't go hunting, I'll go fishing. If I can't go fishing, I'll be wishing that I find something fun to do before I call it a day. Yeah, give me my gun, a fishing pole. You might find me down at the fishing hole. I put the line in the water, watch a bobber go floating away.
Watch that bobber go floating away.
That's what we ought to do. We ought to just all go fishing.
I like that idea.
Yep.
Yep. We haven't talked much about fishing, but we got plenty of rockfish out in the bay. Plenty of them. Nice ones right now.
Nice ones right now.
That winter run. Oh, yeah. Beautiful fish.
I've been seeing some nice pictures.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
So. It's a rough time for me to get out. So.
Gee, I don't know why.
Yeah.
You got your hands full with managing all 220,000 deer.
One by one. Yep.
And how many sika deer?
Oh, that's a good question. But, you know, well over 10,000. They're doing better than whitetails.
That's a good question.
Yep. It is a good question. We manage deer off of trends, not off of hard numbers, you know. And looking at the sika harvest, you know, I mean, we have an increasing sika population.
I heard somebody killed a big one in Delaware the other day. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, I heard somebody killed
that. That doesn't surprise me. They've had a couple road kills. And they had one almost on the other side of the peninsula, I think, that hit by a car, you know.
Really?
And we've had confirmed sightings in Kent County, as far north as Kent County.
Right.
You know, so, but the last model, around 12,000.
Around 12,000.
Yeah, around 12,000. Yeah,
I got it. Well, they're taking some nice ones, that's for sure.
Yeah, they are. That's for sure.
Yep. So, you want to talk about sika deer? You want to talk about...
You're the boss.
I'm the boss.
You're the boss.
All right. We got thousands of guys out there perched over a corn feed or a corn pile this morning.
We do, and they should be over an old oak tree is what they should be over instead of a corn pile.
Is that right? Yeah, you're all about the natural food, right?
Well, yeah, I think Well, and deer are too.
So are deer, yeah.
You know,
if you feed a deer year round, you can cause problems in that deer's whole digestive system. You can actually kill deer.
You can acidosis them.
Yep.
So we talked about that in the last time I was here. But yeah, you know, I mean, there are disease concerns with artificial bait and corn, no doubt. I mean, if you're congregating deer, you know, I mean, there's more of a chance of that, you know, happening. So it's generally frowned upon on the biologist end of things.
Right.
And that's why, you know, a lot of states
don't have baiting,
you know.
Right.
I mean, West Virginia was a baiting state. Virginia was a baiting state, you know, and we've seen both of those states take action to, you know, to prohibit it or at least significantly limit it. When we first found CWD in West Virginia, we actually prohibited baiting in our disease management area.
Right.
But at that time, it was, for the most part, Green Ridge State Forest, which public land, we don't allow baiting anyway. So it was a relatively minor change, you know. But as our disease management area has expanded with the disease, you may have noticed that we backed off on that. So we don't prohibit baiting. And, I get beat up over that some. And
really?
Probably rightfully so, yeah. But it comes down to, you know, going back to needing hunters, you know, we provide a valuable service with managing deer. And if you make it too difficult or you take the fun out of it, there's a lot of other things out there to catch the eye of people, and if we lose hunters, then we lose our ability to manage deer and other wildlife.
That's
because
true.
Deer hunters, you know,
that's
contribute
true.
A lot, not only to deer management, but just to funding the agency through hunting license sales.
And if you prevent baiting, which you're not even talking that.
No.
If you prevent it, then, you know, raccoons, squirrels, red-bellied woodpeckers, and other game.
Right, we got to look out for those species.
Yeah, what you're telling me? They're all starved to death.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
So,
not really. But.
No, so yeah, but you know, I do encourage hunters every chance I get. And I'm not opposed to baiting. I've killed deer over bait.
Sure, so have I.
So, but you know, you can be more effective without it. You really can. Especially if you're looking for a big animal.
A trophy animal. Big buck, yep.
You know,
they're nocturnal anyway.
We all have trail cameras, and we all know when there's deer are coming into those corn piles, and most of those big animals aren't coming in when it's legal shooting hour.
I killed a nice 8-point a few years ago in Cecil County. 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, not right at the crack of dawn, but I mean, you know, but I baited him in with a little scent teaser, and I've told the story before, but on one of the trail cameras there, located probably 300-400 yards from where I shot this deer, we had, if I remember right, 11 bucks. My guy showed up once.
Right.
One picture. And he was like off to the side, you know, on the corn pile on the camera. So, you know, you don't always know who's there just by taking those trail cam pictures. But it is nice to know if you got a big one and you can focus on it.
It is. So. It's a valuable tool.
The picture I showed you was taken with a cell phone out the window.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
no trail cameras there. There's no corn pile there.
Right.
What about, what's your thoughts on urine-based scent? I know some states have banned that.
So that's the same, you know, that's the same deal. You know, they have shown that the prions that cause CWD are shed in urine, you know,
right.
So they're found in the urine. The big debate is, you know, are they at a level high enough to cause, you know, to actually cause the spread of the disease,
or
introduction of the disease.
Right.
And that's a debate where, you know, we've seen the Archery Trade Association even jump into that mix. You know, they have approved urine lures now that supposedly, you know, they come from CWD free herds, so on and so
forth.
Sounds
like a marketing scheme.
Well, I don't know. But I mean, again, it goes back to testing. I mean, what we need is a test that can really, you know, quickly identify the disease in a deer or identify these prions in a urine-based lure, you know, or whatever.
I mean, that sounds to me like it's way beyond a DNA test of some kind. You know, I mean, so when you test for CWD, how do they do that? I mean, I know they take lymph glands.
Yeah, we take lymph nodes and brainstem, the base of the brain, basically the urbex, and then we take retropharyngeal lymph nodes, they're called, which are kind of right along your esophagus.
Right.
And it's a lab procedure. They have to, you know, they have to section those, a very thin section. It's fixed on a slide, stained, and then if those prions are present, they'll stain a different color so they can identify them. So it's not just a dip a straw in the blood and
That's
what we need.
That's what you need.
That's what
course,
we need. Yeah. But but you know, right now it's a pretty significant laboratory test or procedure, which makes it hard for testing to like offer testing programs. We get requests from time to time, you know, to offer a testing program where if a hunter kills a deer and wants to have it tested, we can test it.
Howard County game manager or deer management program, I think I had two tested out of
did they?
Dozens that I took out there.
So it, and you know, and it's not that we don't want to offer a testing program, but it's twofold. Number one, it's not a food safety test.
Right.
It doesn't tell you that the deer doesn't have the disease.
Right.
It just tells you that the disease isn't present at a level high enough to be detected. If you follow
I get your logic.
So,
yeah,
you
sure.
could still be carrying it and come back a false
sure.
negative.
Sure.
And then the second thing is just this delay. We submit samples. There's only so many labs that do this testing, and we submit those samples as soon as we can after we collect them. But it can be months before we get the test results back. So
I get it.
As a hunter, you know, do you pay for that butchering and freeze it? And then if it comes back 3 months later positive, do you throw it out?
Yeah, I get it.
So hopefully
are there any outward signs that a deer might have this
so
disease?
Once they go clinical, yes. I mean they literally waste away.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I mean but they they can carry it for 2 to 3 years,
right.
maybe even longer, some of them before they showing signs. We've only had a handful of the 52 that were what we call clinical. The rest you'd never know.
Mm-hmm.
We're carrying it without the test.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but
I understand.
So yeah. So it's a challenge for all
so
of us.
So how do we get from urine base sent to back to CWD?
So same thing. I mean, you know, what you've seen in a lot of states that have banned it, not that there's that many states that have banned it, but they've went to synthetic only.
Yeah.
You know, you can use a synthetic, but not a natural based urine. And it's for that reason, the fear of those
I can think of at least two companies in Maryland now that import, you know, 5 gallon drum or 5 gallon pail of pure deer lure and bottle it in ounce bottles and sell it for $10.
Know? So,
and I mean, that happens a lot.
Yeah, it happens a lot, and it happens, you know, all over the place.
Sure.
And
I don't know how many companies out of Pennsylvania that do the same thing.
So neither, you know, banning baiting and banning urine-based lures aren't on our radar.
Got it.
Just looking at other states and you know, hunter relations.
Kind of like see if Mikey likes it, you know, kind of putting it out there.
We didn't
find anything to, you know, so.
Yeah, so the CWD is here to stay.
Right.
Unfortunately.
So
you
we're
know,
deer, we hope.
Yeah, deer. So unless Mother Nature intervenes with some kind of, you know, resistance or something, eventually many, many beyond our careers.
Yeah.
But, you know, and unfortunately we're going to see the disease spread.
Sure.
It's going to keep slowly spreading, but. But like I said, it's not been shown to be human. You know, humans have not been shown to be susceptible to
it.
And we'll keep monitoring and keep hunters updated as much as we can.
When we come back from this next break, we'll talk safety, and then we'll be done for the day.
Sounds good.
You all right with that?
Yep.
Hey, you know where the first choice of Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is? Yes, it's at Chesapeake Outdoors. Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road on Kent Island, 1707 Main Street. That's Chester, Maryland. They've got the Raven crossbows, the Mission crossbows, the Matthews compound bows. They've got crossbows by 10 Point, Excalibur, Carbon Express, and Barnett. Right now, there's 20% off all tree stands, ladders, climbers, and lock-ons. Don't forget, they are your waterfowl headquarters right there in the heart of the waterfowl hunting region. The largest selection of waterfowl calls in the area, all major brands. They've got steel shot. They've got camo. They've got hip boots, knee boots, and waders. They've got Avery decoys and Kent fast steel and banded camouflage clothing, as well as scent lock apparel for the deer hunters as well. Large selection of camo clothing. Firearms and ammunition by Remington, Chiappa, and Savage. Muzzleloaders and accessories by CVA and Thompson Center. CVA is our sponsor. You know, we're giving a muzzleloader away every month. Cost of sunglasses, Yeti coolers, thousands of hunting accessories right there at Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road on Kent Island, 1707 Main Street, Chester, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500. $2,500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. Now I want to tell you about some Browning firearms from Clyde Sports Shop. I told you about the new AB3 long-range Stalker. I told you about the A5, and I told you about the BAR Browning automatic rifle, the new Hell's Canyon. But I want to tell you about the X-Bolt. If you want a great rifle, the X-Bolt bolt-action rifle is extremely accurate. Bolt-action, big-game hunting perfection. It comes with all standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers, an adjustable feather trigger, a detachable rotary magazine. And I'll tell you, you put some good optics on that bad boy, and you have got yourself a rifle. No question about it. You can't say enough about the Browning X-Bolt because they are extremely accurate firearms. Now, along the X-Bolt line, there's the Hell's Canyon. There's three different models of Hell's Canyon: the Speed, the Long Range, and the McMillan. Comes in a pretty cool looking arid urban camouflage. It comes with a DuraTouch finish, composite stock. The barrel is Cerakote finished. It's fluted, the Sporter barrel with a threaded muzzle brake. It's got a detachable rotary magazine, a short throw bolt, adjustable trigger, and bolt action, and select calibers. The Speed is the lighter one with the, you know, the little lighter calibers. The Long Range and McMillan models are for all that big game hunting you want to do, maybe even go out west, like 6.5 Creedmoor and others. All that at Clyde Sports Shop, your Browning headquarters, your full-line Browning dealer, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9, 410-242-6108. For firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, and scope mounting, your full-line Browning dealer, Clyde's Sports Shop. Now, I want to tell you for this hour about Bay Country Bakery. All right, Dave and Gina Levy, they are your host. They are trained chefs. They strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery is located at 2951 Coastal Highway just through Cambridge, Maryland, on the Eastern Shore on Route 50 East. I want you to think about a big donut, the biggest donut you've ever seen, and then double it. That's right. It's a 10-foot-tall, pink-frosted, sprinkled donut on the side of the building. That's how you find it. You look for the big donut. There's a chocolate donut on the roadside, but you're going to see that big pink donut. You know where it is, right?
Yeah, I do.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, you can always stop there for lunch during your midday break from hunting, or you can go and get yourself some tasty donuts. Best on Delmarva, actually best in Maryland. A sandwich, you know, scrapple and egg, whatever. You can stop by for a cup of coffee. That's where I stop when I'm on Route 50 headed to the Sycadeer stand or the duck blind. Bay Country Bakery. Like them on Facebook. Follow them on Facebook. See their website, Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by and say, hello. Hello, Bay Country Bakery. Hey, there's Alan Ellis and Rob and his wife. Nice to see you. Nice to see you. Thanks for listening. Bay Country Bakery. We'll be right back after this.
Rain will move in later tonight and stick around into portions of Sunday and Monday before some drier conditions by Tuesday. A lot of cloud cover from this morning to the afternoon with a high of 45 and a cloudy sky tonight with rain moving in late and a low dropping down to 36. So windy and wet into the holiday weekend on Sunday tomorrow with periods of rain and a high close to 47 degrees. A little bit cooler into Monday, and there's still be the potential for some scattered showers into the afternoon hours with a high temperature hitting the mid-40s. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best seafood in Harford County and northern Baltimore County. Madonna Seafood Restaurant offers an outstanding menu for lunch or dinner and all-you-can-eat crabs. It's a great place for a family event or business meeting. Madonna Seafood Carryout has steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, great pizza, subs, and a whole lot more. Call into the Carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road after a few miles, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. 410-557-CRAB, MadonnaSeafood.com, and Madonna Seafood is open every day at 11.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Put another log on fire. Cook me up some bacon and some beans, and go out to the car and change the tire. Wash my socks and sew my old blue jeans. Come on, baby, you can fill my pipe, and then go fetch my slippers and boil me up another pot of tea.
Brian Eiler requested that for his wife.
I did. I like it.
All right, let's get to our show.
Sounds good.
I know you like that song.
I did.
Yeah.
It's much catchier than the last one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We don't instruct folks what to play. You know, they just pick something out of the vault. And,
yeah.
You know, and halfway through the second hour, every now and then we get one of these.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Yeah.
Here's the house. I mean, you know, it's like, come on, we're trying to keep this show alive and not put people back to sleep, right?
That's all right. That's all good.
That's all good. So let's talk a little bit about safety.
You just
gave me some news.
Yeah, I was just telling you that I heard just across the line in Pennsylvania, maybe there was a tree stand death. We're a couple weeks before the opening day.
While we're on the air.
So, we talk about this every time I'm here, but you got to repeat it. So,
I tell you.
You know, if you're in a tree stand, wear a harness. If you're going up it, if you're coming down it, make sure you're tied in.
I've been on a ladder once this year, and I've been in my climber once this year. Yeah. First time last night. So going up. You know, you got the safety harness on, you got everything the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You strap in, and, you know, even if you're 8 feet off the ground.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's just, you know, and most of the falls aren't while you're in the stand. They're either getting in or getting out. So.
Yep. Or falling asleep.
And I know everybody thinks it's not going to happen. Yeah, me neither. So I caught that. So, yeah. But no, you know, you just never think it's going to happen to you, and it's just not worth, you know, messing up the rest of your life or your family's life. So that's the number one thing.
And you know that somebody dies falling out of a tree stand, of course, is tragic.
Yeah.
But the injuries that people incur.
Right.
Broken legs and compound fractures. Paralyzed.
Yeah.
Spend the rest of your life in a wheelchair.
Right.
I mean, who wants that?
No.
For a deer?
Right.
Thanks.
And we've talked about the technology, you know, I mean, with the vests and all now, where, I mean, you just put it on like a regular old vest, pretty much, and, you know, you're strapped in. And don't go out there with just one of the old 1980s belts that would go around your waist either.
I used those for a while.
I did, too, a long time ago, you know. But they can end up causing more harm
if
than
you
good.
Fall,
in some
yeah.
cases,
oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Squeezed in half.
So make sure you have the right equipment.
You know what I use my old belt strap for?
What? dragging out all these big deer.
Drag strapping. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it works great as drag strapping. Uh-huh. Got the little clip on the end, you know, you just wrap it around.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
So, you tie it off when you tie it to your waist and drag them right out.
So that's a good use of it. But so tree stands, and of course, you know, it's firearm season, so fluorescent orange.
Absolutely fluorescent orange.
Yeah, if you're on private property. Fluorescent orange, because you don't know who may be there that shouldn't be there necessarily.
You know, as a bow hunter, you know you hate that orange in bow season, even though the deer can't see
it. They don't really.
You know, one of the blue jays going to yell at you because you got orange, because birds can see a color, of course. But you know, so during youth season, I actually went out on a bow hunt and had to wear the orange, you know, and deer didn't pay a bit of attention.
Not one bit. I haven't ever noticed anything, you know, appreciably where they can pick it up. So
back in the day when I was hunting Pennsylvania on my aunt's farm, I did an experiment. I had a full orange jacket. Deer come out in the field. I said, I'm going to try something. Stood up, walked towards the deer. Every time they'd look up, I stopped. They'd look and put their head back down the field. I'd advance. And I probably went 150 yards towards those deer in a full orange jacket. They never paid any attention.
It's
let one puff of wind.
The nose is the nose is the key.
Orange and tree stand safety. Yeah. There are other safety tips.
You know, obviously, the firearm safety.
Firearm safety is just paramount.
Yep.
You know,
treat every gun as if it's loaded.
Saw one from last year's incident report. A guy put his gun in a gun case and it went off.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah. Well, I hate to judge because it can happen.
But the thing is, when you stop and you're putting your gun away or you're stopping at the truck, you clear that magazine.
Or if you're getting out, you know, make sure you clear it before you get it out of the stand or, you know.
Oh, my gosh,
don't load it till you're in the stand.
Right. Lower a loaded gun. There was a case in Baltimore County years ago when Mr. Getz was on the Wildlife Advisory Commission. That's been a long time ago. Fellow lowered his semi-automatic shotgun down from the stand, tied it off through the trigger mechanism. The gun was loaded.
Yeah.
He went to lower it down to hit the end of the rope. It fired. It recoiled. It fired again. And it recoiled. And it fired the third time. One of those shotgun slugs struck a relative and killed him.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it's just a second of not thinking about safety can do that.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, so those are the big ones, obviously.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you remember the guy I told you about rabbit hunting? We were talking about rabbit hunting off the air. Yeah, a double barrel 12 gauge.
Oh, yeah,
without a trigger guard. Yeah.
Without a trigger guard.
It caught on the button of his coat one day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was a surprised guy when that big hole blew up in front of him, about 3 feet in front of him.
Yeah.
He jumped back a little bit.
Yeah, I was working at a processor one year. We collect our age data and all at processors, and an older gentleman pulled in and had a nice big bullet hole in the back door of his car where he had thrown the gun in from the other side.
No kidding.
The gun was loaded. The gun went off and
right
through the door from the inside out.
Oh,
so,
man, that's
know. Luckily no one was hurt. But
what do you call your insurance company?
Yeah, don't know how that happened. tree stands, fluorescent orange, and obviously the firearm safety. Yeah, no doubt.
Yep, indeed.
Because it can happen so quick.
Got to clear that clip. You got to clear that chamber. Right. Mostly clear the chamber. You know, I mean, you know, a West. You can carry cartridges in your magazine without one in the chamber. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
You can do that. That is legal.
Yeah.
And then, of course, all you have to do is work the bolt, lever, whatever it might be. But,
right.
But I certainly don't advise
that. No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't advise that one bit.
No.
So,
no, I wouldn't either.
Because it's just not a good thing. So even for personal protection, if you have a semi-automatic firearm at home, people like to have their gun loaded.
Yeah,
it only takes a split second to pull that slide back and put that bullet in the chamber.
And that take a chance, you know, on the kid or something finding it or whatever. So, but yeah, no doubt. And then, you know, when you get back to your car or whatever, if it's not unloaded at that point, make sure you're not leaning it up against the vehicle.
That's a violation.
It's a violation, right? It's prohibited. And again, you know, if you lean it up against the car and it slides and falls down,
which you will,
exactly. You know, that's guaranteed.
It's going to happen.
Basically, law. Yeah,
I mean, it's, well, that's
going to happen. Newton, lean your gun somewhere.
Yeah, I think Newton wrote that.
Yeah, it's a different gravity or something applies. But yeah, so, you know, make sure it's not loaded when you're and riding your four-wheelers, and et cetera. You know, you don't have a loaded weapon. So, yeah.
Review the firearms, the 10 commandments of firearm safety before you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure you know what you're shooting at, what's in front and what's behind your target, especially what's behind it.
Right.
You know, that's a big one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I was part of being behind the target at one point.
Yeah,
it's not fun.
Think I remember you telling.
Yeah,
me
it's
that,
not
yeah.
fun to see the
not
bullets.
A nice feeling.
No. Yeah. You hear the shots and you see the branches blowing off the trees nearby.
Yeah.
And after the first one, you're watching it from ground level. You know,
right.
peering up into the woods
right.
because you're flat out on the ground. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Don't want that to happen.
So and those bullets can travel quite a ways, you know.
Yes,
especially if you're on the eastern shore where there's not a lot out there to stop them. You know, you don't have the relief like you do in the western part of the state. And so, yeah.
Even a shotgun slug can skip along for 700 yards.
Yeah, it's not just direct aerial flight, but yeah, when they hit a lot of times,
they'll tumble and fly back up into the air and so forth.
Yeah.
Some people say they're actually more dangerous.
I've heard that, yeah.
Than a rifle bullet.
And I think there's been some testing behind that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we didn't really talk that much about sick of deer. We don't have much time to go, but that's another safety deal too, because a lot of guys hunt those with buckshot in them and push the marshes out.
Yep.
That's another be sure your target deal.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if we've ever had anybody hurt that way though.
Doesn't come to mind that we've had anybody hurt, but yeah, just be very careful if you're out there jump shooting them like big rabbits.
Exactly. I mean, it's a tradition. I've done it and never scored, but it's something to do.
Dorchester's the only county we allow buckshot in.
Right.
And then that's one of the reasons is for sick of deer hunting out in the marsh. But yeah, just make sure you're aware of what's behind where you're shooting.
Exactly. No question.
Yep.
And if you're on private property, and particularly in the sick of deer areas, you got a lot of public land around
you do.
As well.
Yeah,
you
bunch.
Never know who's across the line. You never know what they're going to shoot at.
Right.
Make sure you wear your orange and be careful in the direction that you shoot.
Exactly.
To.
Yeah. Right.
When we were down in early muzzleloader, we border private our private land borders public land. And we had one guy, I know he fired four shots. And I said, what's he doing? Going for a limit?
I mean, might have been
in the course of a morning, he fired four different shots.
Right.
So anyway.
Yep.
Hey, Brian, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks
first
for
day
having
of
me.
Season.
Yep.
Safety on everybody out there. We just pray for that. And we hope you have an enjoyable hunting season. It is fun. That's why we do it. We do it for the herd. We do it for the meat.
Yep.
But it's all about having fun.
Exactly.
So get out, stay out, stay safe, stay alive, and have fun.
Have fun.